Session number 20390, Reel 7.
Session number 50, Mr. Karupaya, Reel 7. Were your impressions of the Englishman in India before you came to Singapore and your impressions of these people in Singapore?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, when I was in India, I was a small boy. I didn't know much about the Britishers. I didn't know. I was not suitably aged to know about the Britishers. And at that time, only idea I had, India should be independent, that's all. After I came to Singapore, because...
You mean when you were young in India, you have heard of India should be independent?
That's all.
You heard of that?
Yes, that's all. And I was studying my mother tongue there. And I didn't take much, I was very small. It was not the age to know about politics. So after I came to Singapore, and I met with many Britishers and I came into acquaintance. But I did not like them because they were ruling this all over the world. And there were a lot of discriminations.
Could you give some example? What sort of discrimination during your school days?
They didn't treat the other nationalities equally, you know. As I told you, like Americans, the first impression itself with Americans was very good, although I was very small. Even MacArthur, I never expected that he would receive us in that manner, you know. He was the commander-in-chief, you know. He could do anything if he wanted to. But Britishers were just the opposite.
But that was during the war. What about prior to the war?
Here also they didn't treat us equally.
Could you give some example?
And, you know, some of these officers and all, government officers, they didn't treat us, the local staffs, equally, you know. But I was very small. I was not able to judge things 100% perfectly. What I saw in those days, I didn't like them. They were very cunning. They were very shrewd also.
What about your schoolmates? Were there any Britishers?
No. All Chinese, Malays, and Indians, Anglo-Indians, so no Britishers for that school.
So when did you encounter these Britishers? In what occasion?
Actually the most important factor started from Philippines. I came into, from Colonel Figgis, that is, the starting is Tokyo, Colonel Figgis.
But before that?
Before that in Singapore.
Yeah. Hmm. Any?
The HR Chisman was the chief inspector of schools at that time. He used to visit us private school, HR Chisman. And I came into contact with the HR Chisman a few times, that's all. He was the chief for the inspector of schools, HR Chisman, during those pre-war days.
So in that case, the pre-war days, you did not have...
much contact with the Britishers, to tell you the truth. Less contact.
So how did you get the impressions of the Britishers being unfair?
Because whenever I visited some of these government officers, I used to see and used to hear others telling me, that's all. I didn't come into contact directly with them. I was small, you know. I was a school boy.
And when you attended Chandra Bose's speech at Padang, what struck you most in his speech?
His speech was, I should say, the best speech I've ever heard before. And like magnetic, you know, his speech. And the whole rally was after him.
I mean, what struck you most in his speech?
About India's independence. The speech mainly was about India's independence, how to attain India's independence. And he said, I'm going to give you only death, nothing else. If you are prepared, join me. To gain independence, you all have to die. That was the first thing he said. If you are prepared, if you want to die for the cause of for the India's independence, then join me. Otherwise, don't, he said. And we all said we are prepared for it.
Why did you think India independence was important? You said you had very little notice on the politics, but it's rather sudden.
But, you know, once, you see, when you grow up, you try to gain knowledge. Actually, when Bose came here, he came from somewhere from Germany. I started studying this in Tamil newspaper. So I was inspired by the news and his speeches. From that day, I was attracted by his speeches and everything.
So before he came, the Tamil newspaper here did play a role on propagated for the Indian independent movement.
To some extent, they were pro-British. Actually, my cousin brother was the printed and published by A. Subbaiya at that time. After that, Sarangabani. My cousin brother, A. Subbaiya, was the manager, and the paper was under his name, A. Subbaiya. Printed and published by A. Subbaiya, as you have seen now. Now, Mrs. Sarangabani. Before that, prior to that, Sarangabani. And during pre-war days, by A. Subbaiya, my cousin brother. Now he has passed away. And at that time, they were more or less pro-British. And luckily, he escaped to India just before the war. Otherwise, the sooner the Japanese occupied Singapore, they were searching for him. Luckily, he went to India. And Sarangabani was caught. And he was hiding in the ceiling for 3 months, you know. Japanese wanted to chop off his head. But Sir Rasbihari Bose, who came down from Japan, he helped, he saved him. But he didn't take active part, Sarangabani. He was a chief editor of a Tamil newspaper.
If the newspaper here were pro-British, then why did you say you were inspired by the news reports on
but,
the papers?
Not only British, there were a lot of papers coming from India also at that time. Not only this in Tamil newspapers, there were papers coming from India. And I have read some books about Subhash Chandra Bose's biography and other things, some movements, and some revolutionary books also, written by Indian revolutionaries. So I was slowly just gaining knowledge about politics. That's all I was, came into inspire. But one thing, you can be rest assured, had he been alive, had he come to India, means free India, nobody can stop him in India, and he would have been the first prime minister. Nehru would not have become the prime minister. He would have been the foreign minister. He was such a powerful, dynamic person, I should say. Definitely. As we have got Lee Kuan Yew here today. Really. And you know, I've got highest respect for our Bose. Among the Indian leaders, to tell you the truth, I've got highest respect for Bose, second, Vallabhbhai Patel. Vallabhbhai Patel, you know. Vallabhbhai Patel was really a man of feeling and action. These two people in India. But that poor man has passed away. He was a minister, home minister, during Nehru's cabinet. Actually, Nehru was always afraid of Vallabhbhai Patel when he was home minister. Everything Nehru used to consult him, Vallabhbhai Patel. And he showed everything in deeds only, not words, a man of feeling and action. Bose also was a man of feeling and action.
Yes, there was a letter written to the cadets in Tokyo by the IIL personnel here. And the letter was about asking all of you to write to them once a month. What was the significance of that?
That our leader, Netaji, was very much interested about Tokyo cadets. He had a high ambition on us. That's why he wanted us to write through the IIL once in a month. But unfortunately, we were not able to comply his desire because we were very busy, we were studying. Because, you know, the language Chinese, Japanese, there are three type of characters. Katakana, Hiragana, and Kanji. Kanji is the most difficult one. But now, recently, they have modernized to 1,800. At that time, there were thousands, you know, like Chinese. Anyway, we studied that Kanji characters day and night. So we didn't have much time to write the letters. So we were not able to do it, actually. And also, after joining the academy also, we didn't have much time. Even for taking food also, sometimes we didn't have time. So actually, we didn't write according to his desire. We were not.
Right. Thank you very much,
Mr. Karupaya.
Yeah.